punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It is Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Sayre and Elk City. Hey, it's Monday. It's a short week with Thanksgiving this week. Just to let you know, there won't be no show Thursday and Friday, but we got some great shows today, tomorrow, and Wednesday. Reese Hightower is going to be in here. Here in about 10 or 15 minutes, and we're going to talk what he is going to college for and what he's learned and with drone technology. So it's going to be a really cool show. So you don't want to miss out on that. Currently here at the Gabe Gadget Mezzanet Center, we're 54.9 degrees, 55 at Arnett, 54 at Buffalo, 51 at Cherokee. Looks like the warm spot in western Oklahoma right now is 63 at Altus, 59 at Hobart. Out here in the panhandle, let's see what we got going on. 63 at Odell, 59 at Wellington, and 56 at Canadian, Texas. Got a lot going on today, so let's get on with it. Here's some things that happened overnight in our ag belt. Soybean futures were modestly higher overnight, while grains were mixed amid dry but improving weather in South America on strong demand for U.S. supplies. Dry weather has dropped water levels along shipping routes through Brazil, making it difficult for barges to get to ports along the coast, Bloomberg reported today. Smaller than normal cargoes are being moved from growing areas in the center of the country to ports as shipments of soybeans and grains are being divided into multiple vessels to reduce weight. Some rainfall in northern Brazil will improve crop prospects in the region, according to the Commodity Weather Group, said in a note to its clients. Steel stress will rebuild in early December. Demands for U.S. supplies are propping up prices. The Department of Agriculture last week announced a number of sales of various U.S. ag products to international buyers. Some 220,000 metric tons of soybeans were sold to a John Doe country. John Smith. Let's just name him John Smith. USDA said on Thursday, a day prior, the agency said Japan bought 124,000 tons of corn. And on Tuesday, the government announced Mexico bought 101,745 tons of corn. Exporters sold 3.92 million metric tons of soybeans to overseas buyers in the week that ended on November 9th, according to the USDA in a report last week. That's way up from the previous week and the highest since the marketing year started on September 1st. Overnight, soybean futures for January delivery rose 6.25 cents to $13.46.5 a bushel on the Chicago Board of Trade. Soy meal was down $5.60 to $430.90 a short ton, and soy oil gained 0.31 cents to 51.52 cents a pound. Corn overnight for December delivery was down 0.25 cents to $4.85 a bushel. Wheat futures for December delivery dropped 2 cents to $5.73.75 a bushel in Chicago, and Kansas City futures lost 3.75 cents to $6.23.75 a bushel. Strong winds everywhere in the Southern Plains mainly. Wind advisories have been issued in parts of the Southern Plains, according to the National Weather Service. Winds will be sustained from 25 to 35 miles an hour with gusts up to 45. Is forecast in parts of Texas and Oklahoma panhandles. The advisories will stay in effect till 6 o'clock this afternoon. Gusty winds will blow around unsecured objects, and a few power outages may result from that. Strong winds are also expected in western South Dakota. Forecast is 25 to 35 miles an hour with gusts up to 50 miles an hour. Sudden wind gusts can cause drivers to lose control. Man, I've been in those situations. It is not fun at all. Okay, let's see what the commodities are doing right now. Corn right now is at 465 for December, down a little over a penny. March is 483, and May is 494. July is up to 502. Soybeans right now, January, 1357, up over 16 cents. May is 1372. March is 1372, and May is 1384. Soybean meal for December is up $3.90. A short ton at 457.20. January is at 440.40. Soybean oil is up a little, not quite a half a penny. It's at 52.36 a pound. And for December, January is 51.72, and March is 51.43. Hard red winter wheat is down a dime today. December is 607, March is 617, and May is at 624. And market just updated on me. Cotton is down about a half a penny. December is at 78.33, March is at 81.22, and May is at 81.86. And then what else we got? Oh, sugar. Speaking of sugar. Anyway, sugardaddy.com over at Delhi. He's making a little cash today. March sugar is up about a half a penny to 27.56 cents a pound. West Texas intermediate crude oil is December 78.10 is up $2.21. January 78.32 up 2.28. Natural gas is down well below $3 now at 2.89 for December and 3.06 for January. And then let's go back over here to live cattle. December's at 175.55, down about 20 cents. 176.60, down 20 cents. April is 178.70, and June is 174.22. Feeder cattle for November is down about 73 pennies at 228.64, but up a buck for January at 229.50, up $1.05 for March at 232.02. And April's 235.60, up $1.10. Lean hogs are down today. Looks like about 65 cents for December at 70.32. February 74.97. April's 80.90. It's down a little over a half a dollar too. So there you have it. Looks like the Dow, the S&P, and the NASDAQ are all in the green today. So there you got it. Man, Thanksgiving's coming up. I hope everybody is prepared. I don't remember the, I can't find that chart, but they've been putting it out on social media on turkeys when you're supposed to get them out to thaw according to the poundage. I think big boys are supposed to have been out yesterday or today out of your freezer to have it completely thawed out in time to be able to cook it for Thanksgiving Day. So keep that in mind. See if you guys just leave those turkeys alone and get you a brisket out or some T-bones or some ribeyes or some roast or something like that for Thanksgiving. Eat beef. It's what's for dinner. You wouldn't have to worry about thawing this stuff out 3 and 4 days ahead of time. Just throwing that out there. Today is the Oklahoma Cattlemen Association happy hour. We'll have more about the OCA coming up here. I got some results real quick from Mr. Brent Metter. I don't have all the results, but I'll give you a little bit on here. Supreme Champion went to Brett Pembroke with a key, looks like. Reserve Supreme went to Carter Hudson with a polled heifers. There was over 150 heifers or right at it, and 100 FFA and 4-H participants in the Western Oklahoma Big Time Heifer Show out here at the Civic Center in Elk City Saturday. So anyway, I'll get some more results from Brent coming up here either tomorrow or Wednesday. Speaking of Wednesday, his daughter, Miss Jill Metter, is going to revisit her old stomping grounds here in the studio come Wednesday. She's home from college, I think for the first time, actually. So we'll see what all she's been learning there at Stillwater. So, and we'll get that going on. We're going to go ahead and take an OCA break right now. When I come back, Reese Hightower is going to be in here, and we're going to be talking drones, shooting, schools, see what he's putting in that hard drive of his on his computer while he's been gone his first semester at school. So when we come back, we'll have him on here. Be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
When your tractor has a flat, you're stuck. When your truck's on a construction site and a tire goes down, you're in trouble. You need help. So you call down to Blair, and they come to you. They answer the phone, and somebody comes to wherever you are to fix your problem. They carry Firestone, Michelin, and some other tires. Blair Tire and Feed, Highway 283 and 19. On-site tire service, 563-2692. 563-2692. They come to you.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Do you love the great outdoors? Maybe you enjoy trap shooting or skeet shooting, or maybe getting some target practice in at the firing range is your thing. If you're that person, you love guns. Hobart Farm and Garden has a whole room dedicated to guns, gun safes, ammunition, and more. It's quite impressive. You gotta go check it out. They are Western Oklahoma's platinum Browning dealer and Glock stocking dealer. They're located at 1030 South Monroe in Hobart, Oklahoma. If they don't have it, you don't need it. Hobart Farm and Garden.
That life insurance that I have on myself, it's not for me. It's for my wife, that she doesn't have to sell the home. She doesn't have to go worry about how am I going to make this car payment? How am I going to come up with the cost out of pocket to pay this funeral? Because, you know, that's an expensive cost. And it's a cost that you're going to have. If you had a machine in your garage that made money, it was a money-making machine. You went out every day, and you flipped the switch on that machine, and it generated money to pay your bills. Would you insure that machine? I've never had anybody say no. Sure they would. Well, you are that machine. You flip your switch on every morning when you get up. You flip your switch on when you go to work, but yet we don't insure ourselves. It doesn't make any sense to me. Hey, I'm Mickey Lively. I'm an insurance agent with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
At Lone Star Gin, 4.5 miles south of Pampa, Texas on Highway 70, our mission is to provide superior customer service to our producers while getting their cotton ginned in a timely manner. We possess 120-plus bale-per-hour capacity, high-tech moisture systems, on-site sampling, and we move cotton in a timely manner from the field to the gin. With excellent hands-on marketing, our gin is designed to maximize profits for our farmers. Visit us at www.lonestargin.com or give us a call 806-665-0677.
Whether you graze livestock or produce hay from perennial forages, the Night Latch Group helps farmers and ranchers manage production risk by utilizing the federal crop insurance programs. The pasture range and forage rainfall insurance program signups for the 24 calendar year are now till December 1st. PRF provides needed cash flow and pays producers during periods of below average rainfall. Insure your operation against lack of rainfall with no money up front. Hold on to your ag investment with the Night Latch Group, 580-334-7995. Remember, even wet years have dry spells.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
The button didn't push off when I pushed it off. Anyway, here is your ag weather update. We're out in the panhandle, Lipscomb, Texas, 52 degrees, humidity 66%, dew points 41. The winds are out of the northwest at 29 miles an hour with gusts up to 35. Peak wind gust today, 38 miles an hour. No month-to-date precipitation. Red flag minutes, zero. Sub-freezing minutes, zero. And 8-inch soil temperature is at 57 degrees. Mr. Reese Hightower is in the studio with me today, and we got some cool things to talk about today, I think. So welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Jimmy.
Oh, man, I'm glad you're in here. So, Reese, you're a graduate of Merritt High School, and you got a shooting scholarship to Redlands there in El Reno.
Yes, sir.
Tell everybody about that.
So, this is our second year for having a shooting sports program, and for right now, we're doing pretty solid in that program. And overall, Redlands is a pretty good college to be going to just to start out for your associates. And we're still looking maybe next year to get some more kids on the team because we're losing six, and the school wants us to have about 25 kids on the team next year.
Right.
So for anybody out there that's just wanting to start out small and maybe go to a D2 or a D1 school for shooting sports, Redlands would be a good opportunity because it's just like – when I took the tour there, they told us it's basically like walking down the hallway of Merritt in Elk City. There's only like a few kids there, and the teachers, they personally know, they want to know you and take care of you.
So it's pretty good. And it's a business college, right?
It's a business and an ag school too.
Right.
We have our ag campus. You know where the Concho Casino is?
Yep.
We got two ag campuses. We got the Roy's Ranch, which is right across the highway. And if you go a mile south and a mile, about 3-4 miles back to the west on the north side, just directly north of the prison, our Darlington campus is there. And that's where we have our ag sciences and our ag biology, plant science, drone courses. That's where our big classes go down at for right. ag.
So do they have dorms, I guess, or
yeah,
not?
It's kind of a bunkhouse style out there. We got...
kind of like Yellowstone?
Almost. We got four girls and four boys that live out there, and it can be a rough time out there some days.
I probably don't need to get into that. We don't need to talk about that. So, do you guys got a train station?
No, not yet. we have one hidden around, but nobody goes to it. We supposedly...
You probably don't want to.
No, there's... So, we're in the middle of Cheyenne or Apaho land. And I guess behind the campus, somewhere in the brush, there's an old Indian burial ground.
Right.
And they said, don't go back there.
Yeah.
It's mad.
Just out of respect.
Yeah.
Just out of respect also. So anyway.
Yeah.
So what are you taking? This is your first semester there.
Yes, sir.
What exactly are you taking?
I'm doing an ag technology, and some people, they might get confused about it. So there's two different ways of ag technology. There's the Garden City kind where you go and do the John Deere school, but I'm doing like the more technological degree of it. So I'm going to try and be more of a computer guru with working on GPS and perhaps going into a drone field with it and doing more drone technology in Western Oklahoma.
Oh yeah, that drone technology, it's coming a long ways, hasn't it?
It's getting pretty wild. It's the other day I was just scrolling through Instagram, and you know, Facebook and Instagram, they listen to us, and it popped up this guy. He had hired a company to come out to his cornfield, and they took this drone up in the air, and drones today, they have like a 3D graphing and imaging program right. built into them.
Right.
And they went and flew his whole 500 acre field, and it graphed out where every big rock was at for him to go out there and pick with his skid steer and haul
really?
Out.
Yep. Was this a Millennium Farmer?
Yep, it was that guy.
Yeah, I seen that. That was cool.
It was TerraClear come out and cleaned it, and they fly all over the U.S. with their drone and do the cleaning with their cleaning on everybody's fields and just picking rocks and doing all that imaging.
Have they got it where the drones can just go down and grab them, pick them up, take them out?
No, that takes a lot of battery power and force on the propellers to get them up and they're in the air.
Well, let's step back a little bit. Your dad and Mr. McGee,
yes,
and Mr. Tucker, they took you guys to another level with shooting sports.
Yes, they did.
And I talk about them, I brag about them all the time, but for good reason. You're one of the examples, and I know your dad was one of the coaches and stuff, but let's just say you're not kin to Coach Paul Hightower, okay? And I know this is going to be hard to say. Yep. But you guys, how many kids can you think of off the top of your mind have got shooting sports scholarships? From Merritt, I can name, what, half a dozen
seven,
at least?
Maybe.
Seven?
Seven.
Yeah.
There's probably 12, maybe 10, maybe 12 out of Beckham County. alone. And just Western Oklahoma alone
right.
went to college off of shooting sports.
So what does that mean to you? Or what did that mean to you to get a scholarship at shooting
school? That means that there's just more talent out here than just the normal average high school sports, and it shows that colleges are opening their doors to different opportunities for themselves right. to go yeah. showcase.
So and why shooting sports for you?
I just grew up with it. I got out of show pigs, and it just kind of stuck with me after I got out of that and started moving into it. And it was a good opportunity for people to go outdoors and just do more as a person. And right. It shocked me, because if you would have told me 7 years ago, hey, you're going to college for a shooting sports scholarship, I would have been like, you're crazy.
Yeah.
But it's just like, things are happening and people are opening doors, and they want kids to go to their college, and they want to show people in the U.S. and in the NCAA and all these different associations that there's kids out here that are doing this, and yeah. this sport is growing.
And why do you think some of the, I know, for example, OU and OSU, they got shooting teams, but yep. there's no scholarships. You're just, it's like a hobby while you're going to this school. Do you think that's going to change?
I could see it in the near future. I can't really get too political about it. It just depends.
Oh, why not?
It's just a bunch of politics with right. the big universities, just looking at liabilities and where to store it, because at Redlands we have a security building, and that's where we have to put our guns. So they're also looking at the risk of gun use or something on campus. I feel like right. it's just, I've been talked to about it, and it's just liabilities and what could happen right. with the big universities.
Well, it's no different than having a show cap and getting loose on campus mm-hmm. during lunch hour.
Yeah. That's just how it, that's how yeah, I look at it.
But. And Well, I'm happy for you. I'm happy for the other students that are doing well, and people are taking it serious, because a lot of kids get into FFA and 4-H, and for one reason or another, whether it's financial or just, just practical use, mm-hmm. they don't get into the show calf deal. And FFA and 4-H ain't all about showing animals. Yep. I mean, you're learning shop techniques and all this other stuff. And I'm so glad that the shooting sports has really took hold and took mm-hmm. fire, because there's probably a lot of kids that wouldn't have been in 4-H or FFA
if it wasn't for
shooting sports. So it's yeah. pretty good. And so you get a scholarship, and you got some other scholarships, and yes, we don't sir. Have to talk about that to go to college.
Yes.
And so you show up at Redlands. You're ready to go shoot, but what happened? Paperwork?
Paperwork. Lots of paperwork. We, you have to fill out when we got there, we had to fill out like a buddy paperwork, like just to know everybody on the team and get our shirt sizes and then basic information. And then just diving into not even just on the shooting team, but just homework. Like after the first week, it like that, you right. got to be ready.
Ready so, to go?
Yep.
So was it a wake-up call?
It was. Like, after the first week, I was like, okay, this is easy. And then it just second and third week, and then the first test in math, it was like, what the heck is this? It was just like a brick wall just slam you.
Yeah, and if you're watching on Facebook, look at there. Mr. Hightower brought me a Redlands Cougars hat to wear. And yep. anyway, and I appreciate that. We're going to take a short break here, and before I do, I figured out who EGG was.
Who was it?
Brandon Easter. I got cloudy mind when the show was going on, but anyway, we want to wish Brandon Easter a birthday. Happy birthday for today.
Yep.
Anyway, Brandon and I go way back into the coil tube and stuff.
Yeah.
Anyway, so happy birthday to Brandon. Him and his wife and family, they got a great family, and Noel Mall, so happy birthday to him. Then I got a text on the Today in Ag text line, is all the cattle auctions on for this week? Negative. I'll check on Woodward for tomorrow, but I know Hobart is down Wednesday. There won't be one at Woodward, obviously, on Thanksgiving. And then Friday, we'll be shut down for the Elk City one. Not sure about the Hollis, but during this break, I'll find out about the Hollis and the Woodward one. And when we get back, we'll know. But the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction has a great sale going on right now. Their weaned auction, weaned calf sale, started about 2.5 hours ago and still got plenty of time. They got lots of cattle going on over there. So anyway, check it out. In a hurry, get over there. You won't miss it all. But anyway, be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
In this area, a lot of people wean their calves off their cows in the fall. Wheat's planted in the fall, and they buy calves. They take them to the sale barn or maybe private treaty. They run them through the winter on wheat. And some sell in March before they cut their wheat. Some take them through May and graze out their wheat and sell them in May or run them through grass in the summer. I have cattle. The guys I work with, they have cattle. I'm a fourth generational rancher. I'm Monty Carlson, and I help make a difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, November 10th. 2,848 heads were sold. 20 head of steers at 501 brought 260. 5 at 668 brought 221. 4 at 705 brought 190. 7 at 761 brought 177. 5 at 763 brought 170. 10 head of heifers at 451 brought 268. 8 at 473 brought 235. 6 at 513 brought 230. 11 at 533 brought 228. 5 at 615 brought 222. 14 at 656 brought 206. 10 at 705 brought 185. Butcher cows were 30 to 124. Butcher bulls brought 64 to 119. Bred cows were 1,000 to 2075. Pairs brought 600 to 2700. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sell every Friday at 9 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
You worked and you sweat and you worried for months over your crop. So why are you giving away part of the profit to someone else? Cut out the middleman. Keep your grain on your farm. Keep your money for yourself. A grain bin on your farm will never depreciate as long as you use it, and it'll make you as much money as you want it to make. Store your own grain in your own bin. Wall Bin Hoppers. Take a look at their website, wallequip.com. Wallequip.com. You did all the work. You should keep all the profit.
Hey, Today in Ag listeners, this is Jared Clark with South Star JCB. We carry a variety of wheel loaders, excavators, telehandlers, skid steers, and several other types of equipment. Please give me a call at 469-325-7466. That's 469-325-7466. Check us out on the web, southstartxjcb.com. That's southstartxjcb.com. I'd love to sell you one. Thank you, and God bless you.
From pump to pivot, Valley Water Experts can provide efficient turnkey pumping solutions for large or small operations. From identifying a source to remote management, Valley Water Experts have you covered with the most efficient and cost-effective solutions for all your water management challenges. Contact your local Valley dealer, Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com. That's Knutson Irrigation, 1-800-373-9325, or online at KnutsonIrrigation.com.
You can buy parts anywhere, but the people at our store are different than people at other stores. And if they're not, we're going to make them different. They should be more knowledgeable. They should be more friendly. They should be more customer-oriented. They should be part of the community. We pride ourselves of doing business with people. You can buy parts anywhere. It's the people that make the difference.
We try our best not to tell the customer no, but to find what they need. Napa Auto Parts of Elk City, 716 West 3rd. More parts for more cars.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Welcome back to the from that OCA break. Woodward, Oklahoma. Currently 52 degrees, dew points 47, humidity's at 83. The winds are out of the north-northwest at 13 miles an hour. Wind gusts up to 20. 0.03 inches of rain in the last 24 hours, 0.09 inches in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 55 degrees. 1-day average 10-inch fractional water, 0.7. Sunset at 5:27. 40% chance of rain showers today, 54 for a high. Tonight, 39 with northerly breezy winds, 17 to 22 miles an hour. And tomorrow, 53 degrees. Winds out of the north, 20 to 23 miles an hour. So, anyway, in the studio with me is Mr. Reese Hightower. Reese is going to the Redlands Community College there in El Reno on a scholarship that he got while he was attending Merritt High School for shooting sports. And shooting sports is one of my favorite, even though I ain't worth a crap at it. They give me a live bird in front of me, a quail, maybe.
Yeah.
I'd probably have a better chance of hitting the quail anyway. But anyway, so shooting sports has gone along. So let's talk about a little bit about what you're attending college for. So it's in ag business, correct?
Ag technology.
Or technology, yeah. So anyway, drones is part of that. But you're telling me a cool story about a drone during break that the El Reno police has got. Tell me a little bit about that.
So out at the Darlington campus, we have the Carter Chevrolet owns the farm in front of it, and you have to drive through it to get to Darlington. Well, behind it, a cop lives there from El Reno PD. And our drone professor went, yeah, he's the drone guy for El Reno. And you might catch him some nights flying. And I'm just driving back out to Darlington one night. I look up. I'm like, what's this little deal doing circles out here in the air above this field for? And I'm just driving by, and I see him out in his car. I stop, and I was like, hey, let me see that drone. I want to see what it looks like. And he's about half a mile out, and he zooms in on this drone. And note that it has thermal imaging on it, and it's a DJI drone. And he zoomed in, and he could make my face out like it was clear as day. Right. And I'm like, holy crap. And this drone...
And he's a half a mile out?
He was a half mile out, and he turned it around and pointed against the Canadian River, and he was seeing pigs and deer. Just all up and down that river. And those were probably every bit of a mile and a half away.
I guess that wasn't probably a cheap drone, is it?
No.
What would a drone like that cost?
You're looking probably 15 to 25 grand, just depending on everything that you'd want on that drone.
Right.
So,
I think our sheriff's department here's got a drone.
The sheriff and I think the city of Elk City has one for fire and rescue, maybe.
Right.
And there's a company, it's based in the U.S., and their name is Skydio, and they just prevailed probably what is going to be the world's leading drone. And they're going to, the military and the government's going to be the first ones to get their hands on it.
Of course.
But they can use this thing on the demo video. They're scanning bridges, and they can see an inch crack on a bridge just using all the cameras and lenses that they have on it. They're doing, like, surveys. They can tell you, let's go out to a field, and they can survey this ground, and they can tell you what the sloping and the imaging of the field is just by flying over it. It's a cool system to have.
So could they be over there by Dale High flying along Sugar Daddy in his red tractor to see if it's a quart loaf?
Yeah. You could probably tell what's going on in that tractor before anything pops up on a computer if you're just flying beside it.
Okay. Well, that's one of the reasons why, because it's going to take the rest of the show. So you're doing the technology part at Redlands, and you've already got your hands a little wet on the drone technology.
Yes, sir.
Tell people what you're learning to do with a drone in their fields. It's cool stuff.
Right now we're in basic training. We've learned how to fly the drone, maneuver it, and now we're in the paperwork.
Anybody crash one?
We've been close, and I've heard stories of them crashing. Ooh. I guess last year they had a guy that was probably 75 went in there to learn how to fly a drone just to give his grandkids something to do.
Off of a flip phone?
I don't know, but they put they call it an FPV system, and it's a first-person view.
Right.
And they told him, they put it on him, and they forgot to set him down. And I guess he was leaning like Michael Jackson, and they had to, like, pull him back up and set him down. But
I wish I had a video of that.
Oh, me too. But we're doing the basic training, and then next fall I'll do like the ag drones, learn how to fly those and get the license to fly those and be able to not get in trouble with the FAA on flying and knowing how to operate those things, because them are some pretty expensive drones to go crash.
Right. All right. Let's just start with something basic. What's the basic drone going to do for agriculture technology?
A basic DJI drone, you can basically, for a farmer, you could go fly out instead of going across your rough pasture. You could go fly it and see where your cattle are and fly around and see if there's like any spots in the fence that you could see or not.
Right.
And you can, I don't know how it would come in on the crops, just being a basic, but you could probably just fly out across your fields. Let's say you're just wanting
to see if you got any bugs or worms,
yeah,
or anything working on them.
Just fly out instead of taking your pickup out across the field. You could just fly out there and see what's going on in these patches of the field and just survey your land with it and just know what's going on in certain patches.
So what's the basic drone like that run? Probably.
You're looking at probably $800 to about $1,500 just for a good DJI drone with a camera on it.
Right.
And that would come with just the drone and extra propellers and a monitor hooked up to a remote control.
I got you.
So,
and then everything's recorded on what, an SD card or something probably?
Yeah, it's built in because it's basically a Samsung phone built into the controller, and
right,
it saves to that system, and you can download it to your computer and note and like make videos with it and put it on YouTube, Facebook, or anything.
Right, like the Millennium Farmer.
Yeah.
He's pretty good at it.
He's good at it, but you gotta watch it too, because I'm a recreational flyer right now.
Okay.
So I can fly for myself and just take videos and everything. But you got to be careful, because it can trademark over to what we call the Part 107 license, which is where you can fly for commercial and you can take money from it.
Oh, I got you.
So there's like a little fine line of what you can do there.
I got you. And if anybody's got a question that they want to hear about on a drone, maybe, we still got about 20 minutes left in the show. Text in here on the text line, 580-225-9697. You're not texting in to ask me. You're texting in to ask him. I get in trouble, and I'll be that 75-year-old deal that guy gets up, and I'm going to be doing a moonwalk like Michael Jackson.
Oh.
So, okay, so let's go to the next level.
Yep.
What's that?
That's going to be after recreational, that's your Part 107. That's where you can do, like, surveying with the drones and just do, like, make it a job. That's that part of it where
right,
you can make a career out of it. And then you have to go, it's either Part 97 or Part 93, and that's where you get your training for the drone, the ag drones, and being able to do all the ag stuff with it.
So what can you do with it?
With the ag drones, you can spray, you can spot spray with it. Let's say you got a field of alfalfa out here, and you got like a little, probably 10-acre circle of Johnson grass just out in the middle of the field, and you don't want to go spend the amount of money that you'd probably have to spend to spray the whole field. I could just lift my drone up right there after calling and getting all the certifications for it. I can go out there and spray that field, that little spot, and not have to worry about spraying the rest of that
field.
As long
as it's Roundup ready alfalfa.
Yep.
So meanwhile, you're going to have to get your T's crossed, your I's dotted on chemicals.
It's a very, not even on chemicals. It's just making sure you're not going to get in trouble with the FAA.
Right.
Because you got your class B, C, D, G airspaces that you got to watch.
Right.
So you got to make sure that you're not in the middle of this airspace where you lift up and you might,
like, at the end of the runway at Burns Flat?
Yeah, that's like a big no-no. You can go to jail for that.
Yeah.
There was a guy out in Florida just goofing off with his drone, and he wanted to see how far out he could get it. And these drone batteries, depending on what the temperature is, if it's like a good 60, maybe 70-degree day, you can get a whole hour and a half of flying. If it's like 90 to 100, forget about it. You might get like 10 minutes of flying.
Right.
This guy goes out and flies off of Daytona Beach. And he gets out there, like, probably 2 miles away where he can't even see the drone. Drone gets ready to die. And when it gets, like, below 25%, it goes to finding somewhere to land. Guess where it decided to land?
The Space Center out there.
No.
On a Navy ship. He got pulled over and asked a few questions. But, yeah, you got to be careful because these airspaces, like, you have to examine aeronautical charts and understand what's in your area and how far high you can fly up. Because right now, with a base drone on DJI, you can only fly up to 400 feet above your ground level. And after you go over that, you start getting calls from FAA, hey, what are you flying this high for? What's going on? Right.
And they can see it.
Yeah, so after, I think it was September 16th, they pushed a whole mandate to where you have to have, like, this little block built into your drone that will give them all of your telemetry of how high you're going, where you're going, your flight pattern, everything.
And they know you're flying.
Oh, yeah. Like, as soon as that drone turns on, it pushes a notification. Hey, this drone's in the air. Go to watching him.
Boy, ain't that some wild stuff.
Yeah. There's people out there that probably don't even realize it and don't understand what's going on and how they need
to. Uncle Sam's watching you.
Yeah, somebody's watching you.
All right. Hey, let's before we go, we're going to pick up on that drone because I want to learn some of the stuff. Besides just spraying, yep. I mean, you can do soil samples and stuff like that. Yes. So this is going to be pretty cool. We'll finish it off. But this is Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association happy hour today. On the whole, farmers and ranchers are independent individuals who like to tend to their own work and stay pretty close to home. Most of us don't care much about city life or politics. We don't have the time or desire to travel to the Capitol to attend legislative sessions, but we still know that what happens can drastically affect our operation. That's exactly why we need an organization like the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. If you're concerned about issues like water rights, property rights, and maintaining your ag sales tax exemption, then OCA is for you. The Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association, run by cattlemen for cattlemen. For more information, go to www.okcattlemen.org or call Miss Lori Campbell up there in Arnett, Oklahoma. She'd be glad to sign you up. So anyway, let's go ahead and take a break. When I come back, I'll have your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger, or not Long Ranger. That's a bad habit to break.
Mm-hmm.
Hobart Farm and Garden Agriculture Update for Southwestern Oklahoma. We'll be right back after this.
The Day in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Where's a plumber when you need one?
In Elk City. That's where Klein Mechanical's ready to tackle those messy jobs that we all try to avoid. They're also looking to hire an experienced journeyman plumber with experience in residential, commercial, and utility work. Pays competitive along with a generous benefits package. To apply, just go by the Klein Mechanical office at 101 Stout Drive in Elk City or give them a call at 580-225-1242. That's 225-1242.
That to-do list you have needs one more thing. Chill. It's an easy thing to do. Just crack open an ice-cold Coors Light and chill. Take the afternoon off and binge-watch anything. Go to happy hour and stay for a couple hours. Who's counting anyways? Or hang out with just your dog because you've had enough human interaction this week. Whatever you do, do it with a Coors Light. Mountain Cold Refreshment made to chill. 2020 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado. Celebrate responsibly.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
Farmers and ranchers, listen up. It's time to make your life easier with the Hay Wagon from Everett's Welding and Repair in Visalia, Oklahoma. The Apache Hay Wagon hauls multiple bales of hay and helps reduce waste. Less waste means more money in your pocket. It'll pay for itself over time, plus make your life easier. What a deal. See all they have to offer at everettsweldingcom. Again, that's everettsweldingcom. And be sure to check out their ads inside the Penny News.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
Hey, cotton farmers, are you walking in high cotton? High cotton. It's easier than you think. Have your cotton ginned fast and efficiently at Western Planters Cotton Gin in Hobart, Oklahoma. Bet you didn't know they have the largest gin in the state and the connections to get top dollar on your investment. They're located at the corner of Highway 9 and Highway 183, just north of Hobart. Be sure and check them out online. WesternPlantersCottonGin.com.
SEI Agritech, excited to announce construction is beginning at the SEI Agritech Center in Elk City for their new product line. They'll be blending LNC feed with all the feed rations that you've come to know and trust. This will be the only LNC blending facility in the area. SEI Agritech in Elk City will be opening their new facility in the near future at their current location at 1400 South Randall in Elk City. For more information, you can give Kent a call at 580-225-0317.
Oh, Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
All right, here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Ag weather update for Mangum, Oklahoma. 59 degrees, that's what it feels like. Dew points at 48, humidity's at 67. The winds are out of the north northwest at 19 miles an hour with wind gusts up to 26. 0.9 of an inch of rain has fallen in the last 10 days. 3-day average 4-inch bare soil temperature, 57 degrees. The 1-day average 10-inch fractional water deals down. Sunset 5:30. That means you got no more shooting after 6 o'clock. Nope, no shooting after 6 o'clock. Anyway, breezy 62 today. I bet they're bedded down tonight, but you never know. Mostly cloudy, 42 degrees. The wind is going to be really breezy tomorrow again. 57 for a high. And it's going. The wind's going to blow for the next 36 hours. How about that? How's drones flying today like today?
You might as well just scratch that idea. They're gone.
It uses a lot of battery power, I bet.
A lot of battery and just the stability in it. Because we've flown in 15-mile-per-hour winds last week, and it was whipping the drone. I tried to put it here, and it just zipped back over. Yep. So, it was horrible.
That's, if it has a downfall, it's probably one of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, you're probably not going to be doing any chemical spraying in a windy day, no matter whether it's a drone or your tractor. Also, while I remember, had a farmer and rancher from up in Roger Mills County text me and wants me to remind everybody, you're looking for deer meat, please shoot a doe or two to help get some of these does under control.
Yeah.
We are overtaken with them out here in most parts of Western Oklahoma, not all. But anyway, take a drove. Tomorrow I'm going to request in, if you guys want to send pictures of your big bucks you shot over the weekend, we'll do that tomorrow. I promise you I won't share them with nobody. I won't have them on TikTok or nothing like that.
Yeah.
Well, let's get on with drones. So you were talking about all the legalities and what could happen if you get in the wrong spot and all that stuff. So you're thinking about coming back out here and starting a drone technology or drone business, maybe.
Yeah.
Ag technology business.
Yeah. Hopefully after this spring, I have my license to do like photography for realtors or any farmer that's like wanting certain pictures or videos done of their like equipment or farm or ranch.
Right.
I'm going to be open to that if I can get this test done. And then I'm hoping to come back when the economy lines back out and purchase an ag drone and provide ag drone services out here.
So what all can you do when we talked about spraying? You can go out there and spray a little spot out there in your alfalfa field or look for bugs or something like that. Yeah. But what got this conversation started with me and you here a while back was talking about doing soil samples.
Yes. So
how cool is that?
It's pretty cool. Like, they have a thermal imaging still on the drones, but you can tell like what's going on like in this part of the ground compared to this side of the field. You can tell what's going on, and you can go and treat it and just treat the soil and give it the nourishment and the fertilizer that you need. And I'm taking a soil science class next semester to go along with the ag tech, so I'll be able to like read and display the information, because there is drones out there that can do the soil science, and they're developing probes instead of getting like a whole mason jar full of dirt and shipping it off to a lab. They've built like a probe that you can just stab in the ground and pull it back out, and it just displays like all the information that you're needing to know what to do to your soil. So
how cool is that gonna be?
It's pretty cool. I've seen videos of how it works and what's going on with it, and it's gonna be a pretty good field to have in the next few years coming up. And the drones are gonna help with it as well, because we have geographic surveying on it now. So I can fly out there with a DJI or a Skydio drone, and I can take like a whole visual of your field and put it on a computer in a 3D landscape. And if somebody's having like a water problem with it eroding their field, I can get an excavation company and I can show them this 3D model, and it'll help them say where they need to go and where they need to put dirt and develop terraces or something. It's a pretty unique system to have.
Sounds like you're going to be partnering up with the NRCS.
I could possibly be doing that.
That'd be cool. So when you talk about somebody's field, nowadays farmers have to be on their toes because of high inputs.
Mm-hmm.
And of course you heard me talking about the commodities earlier. Unless it's soybeans, and there's not a lot of soybeans right out here, but mm-hmm. there's soybeans up north of us.
Yeah.
You need every extra bit of help you can. So you go out there with a drone, check it out, take probes of the soil and stuff, mm-hmm. and you can help these guys out by saying, hey, you got an 80-acre field over here, but 20 acres of it really sucks.
Yes.
And you need this, you need that. You don't need to top dress mm-hmm. it and do this. You need to look at what this is telling you you need and adapt to it.
Yeah. So we could do that, and then you could also go out and help them with their computers and their tractor. When I go through with the ag technology degree, I've seen on these GPSs, it'll map on the computer where they're having like a sorry part of the field, or if they're having like a good part of the field, and I can correlate to what they might need to do in that field to boost some parts and then to maintain the nutrients in it as well. So
we have somebody from the state that's listening. Pesticide applicators using drones will require aerial certification through the Oklahoma Department of Agriculture, as well as a 1A ag plant certification for commercial applications. Yes. Private applicators will also have to have the aerial certification.
Yes, sir.
You knew that, didn't you?
A little bit. We haven't. That's my next drone course for in the fall, so that's when I'll start understanding all that information and just correlating to what he's describing. So.
Right.
It'll be an interesting field to be in when I start understanding what the certifications are for the ag drones and start understanding how to fly those and everything.
What's one of these drones that you're wanting for ag? What's it going to run you? Have you told Dad yet?
I've heard a base price, and it's not cheap. You could probably buy a brand new pickup for what one of these are going to cost.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's around $50K, I think, is what I've heard.
Right. For just a base one.
Yep. I've heard Precision Hawk and maybe Ag Eagle are the top two in the U.S. I might not be right, but I think that's what I've heard from just the classroom, just chattering. And it's a pretty good field to go into with those drones. And it's just all over.
This same gentleman said, I saw a demonstration in Louisiana 2 years ago. That drone was 85G.
Yeah. They're not cheap just for the base price of what I just, $55, that's just to get you by. And the great Monty Tucker went to the Farm Bureau convention, and he sent me a video, and he was blown away from how big the drone was, because it was probably the size of this table in front of us.
Probably won't fit in the back of a truck, will it?
No, you have to have like a trailer or just the bed of a pickup with a flat overdeck on it.
Yeah.
just to get around with them.
Well, we got just a few seconds left here, but you were talking during the break a while ago about the the state laws.
Yes.
Florida. Briefly, yeah.
Florida, they just banned, like, if it's not U.S. made, they have to ban that drone and ground them because it's not Skydio made. They are banned, and Arkansas is just right behind them, along with Texas is getting close, I think.
And Oklahoma will probably be right behind Texas.
It could possibly happen.
Yeah.
It just depends.
Cool. There's the music. We timed that just perfectly.
Yep.
And so when you get done with some more of your drone stuff, you're going to have to come in and talk some cool stuff these guys want to hear out here. So Reese Hightower, he's going to Redlands Community College in El Reno to learn ag technology. He's on the shooting team there also. I guess we'll see you guys tomorrow. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark, brought to you by First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre, Oklahoma. God bless.
We're like the caffeine in your cup, keeping you going all day long.
Thanks for making us number one, 96.5 KECO. Elk City.
Renewed attention on Ukraine. On Lisa Brady, Fox News. The fighting there overshadowed recently by the war between Israel and Hamas. But the U.S. defense chief just announced a new aid package in Ukraine.
Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin said from Kyiv that he'd met with President Zelensky and his defense counterpart.
I wanted to reassure the leadership that the United States of America